Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to welcome on Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com writer and MLB Network contributor. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, no one rings a bell at the bottom. We can only assess the rock bottom, a month or so later. We can look back on it, but right now it feels like there is no bottom with this offense.
Anthony, if we start putting together the org chart of blame here for the Guardians, who is at the top?
Oh, man. I hate to play that game. It's kind of, when it goes this bad, there's a lot of reasons it goes this bad. And you can go all the way to the top, you know, with the lack of investment in a team that shockingly made the ALCS last year with, I would say, a bad offense. And then, you know, because their hands were tied financially, they weren't in a great position to go out and augment that offense. But then I think the front office made it even harder on themselves with, you know, with their approach to the offseason, where they looked diminished offensively in light of the decisions they made. So, you know, it goes from there, and then you get into the weeds of, you know, just development. You know, they're continuing struggle to develop hitters at the major league level, and, you know, coming up into the system to be able to contribute at the major league level. There's a lot of people involved in that, obviously, and the players themselves, you know, these guys who've underperformed as well. So, you know, there's not any one finger to point, unfortunately, but, you know, this losing streak is really, you could kind of see it coming in that where the run differential was, you know, a couple weeks ago. They had kind of played above their level in terms of what they were doing offensively. They had more wins than you would expect, given the offensive contributions or lack thereof. But now it's all kind of caught up with them, and it's really a tough watch when that happens.
Why is it you feel like that they just can't develop hitters at this point, and so they don't have enough offense? But it feels like in the past couple of years, every player they've tried to put through, it just doesn't seem like it's worked.
Right. I mean, in some ways you give them credit for like zigging where others zag, and that's the kind of thing you have to do in a small market. And they did that to some success, where you point to Jose Ramirez is obviously a great developmental story, but he's also a great example of they could point to for other guys in their system. And with that, you get a guy like Stephen Kwan who makes great swing decisions and, you know, gets a bat to the ball. But they gone a little too far with that style and just not having much thump in their system. You got to have power, man. You got to have power to advance. And I know they had more power in their lineup last year, and look what they did. You know, they were able to get to game five of the ALCS with just a modicum of power. Just imagine if they, you know, had like league average or so, would be monumental for this franchise. So I don't know. I feel like we've been saying it for years, where they've got to rethink, you know, how they approach drafting and development. Now, they do have a fair number of interesting position players in their system. I know fans are clamoring to see them right now. To see at least one of them right now would be incredible, I think. I think it's worth a shot at this point. But So, you know, maybe the tide will turn as those guys mature and the, you know, the Bizanas of the world, but, and the Louder, of course, but still, I mean, by and large, they have had way more success on the pitching front than on the hitting front. And I think at a certain point, you got to, you know, reinvent the way you, whether it's personnel or what, but something's got to change if you're going to have, they've had sustained success, but if you're going to take that next step and really be a legitimate threat to win a World Series, I mean, you got to have more power than what they've produced.
Anthony, are we at a point where it makes sense to potentially shop Stephen Kwan?
I don't think so. There is an argument to take advantage of this market, which is there's a lot of contending teams. There's kind of a middling, the guys who are pending free agents on bad teams, and there's just not a lot to work with. And I do think the Guardians, barring some major surge, which their schedule does lighten up, so there is that possibility, I guess. But, I think what you see is what you get. I mean, it doesn't look like a team that's built to win a championship. So there is an argument to take advantage of that market. I don't think you do it to that degree. But I do think Emmanuel Clase, I would take a good hard look at that. He's signed through next year, I believe. There are, team options attached to that. Relief pitching, always an elite reliever like that, even in the midst of, he's had severe regression statistically this season. We know that, but I think he still has a lot of trade value. So I would be keen on exploring that. That would not be the case with Stephen Kwan for me. And I'd be surprised if it was the case for them too.
Can you ballpark what a Stephen Kwan trade would look like, what a net return would be for someone like Kwan? That it doesn't hit for a bunch of power, obviously, but he does a lot of – he's a throwback player in many ways.
Yeah, and you got him – you got him cheap for the next several seasons. You got him cheap through 2027. To me, that's – you better get I'm thinking at least two top 100 prospects, in a deal, and maybe like a four-player trade built around two top 100 prospect type of thing. But you got to think about what that signals. If you're the Guardians and you do that deal, I mean, you're in rebuild territory clearly at that point. And they've been very reluctant to be that, to do that and to rip off that Band-Aid and to announce to their fans that, hey, we're going to stink for 3-4 years, but hang with us, because they know that that's precarious with the fan base. But unfortunately, I think they've, built some ill will here with the fan base with the way things have played out in the last 6, 7, 8 months, where, they had strong support last year. They had their highest attendance since 2008. Fans tune in, fans come out to the games. You go on this run to the ALCS, and it's just such a buzzkill where you don't make an active effort to build on that. It was more like, they made rebuildy type moves, trading away an entire right-hand side of their infield. And you could debate the merits of each of those trades individually, but that's what they did. They traded away the right-hand side of the infield of a team that went to the ALCS, and what they brought back has not netted them much. And it was obviously they subtracted a lot of power, and they didn't have much to begin with. And so here we are, and you can understand why the fan base is frustrated, because they held up their end of the bargain last year, and the organization did not.
Anthony Castrovince on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Obviously, we got a lot of ways to go with this, but if the Guardians were to put Emmanuel Clase on the open market, what teams do you think would make most sense for him, and what do you think is a fair price for him, given that he's an elite closer in the prime of his career with, I think, 3 more years of control after this?
Yeah, the years of control really affect the equation there. I'm trying to remember, like, last year Tanner Scott was a big one who moved.
I think it's like 4 years, $72 million. Oh, you're talking about
trade? No, I'm not talking about the trade deadline. Yeah, where he was like the darling of the deadline from a release standpoint, but he was a rental. And the Marlins got back a nice package for him. But I think for Class A, I mean, I go back to what I said about Kwan. Like, I mean, you might be talking like a couple top 100 prospect type of trade. Which that I'd be more inclined to do, just because relievers to me are so fungible. Like, I love Class A. I mean, I think he's had a great career. He's had an incredible career, but you're always 1 foot out the door. I think when you're a small market team, and a not very good team this year, yes, it's nice to have an elite bullpen. It's nice to have an elite closer, but it's kind of a luxury they might not be able to afford if this is the payroll they're going to maintain, et cetera. you know, I would be inclined to explore what would probably be a lot of aggression in the market for someone like that. Which teams would be a fit? Name one. You know, there is severe bullpen issues around Major League Baseball this year. A lot of the top guys got worn out last year. I think it's rearing its ugly head this season, and you could see it more down the stretch. There's not a contender in baseball that couldn't use some kind of help back there. And perhaps be, you know, willing to part with some nice pieces to make it happen. So, I just think that, you know, the way things have trended are awful for them, but at least it's provided some clarity, you know, and there's a lot of teams out there who don't have clarity right now. But I think what you have in Cleveland is some clarity that, hey, this is really, the worst case scenario has played out, you know, right down to losing a pitcher to a gambling investigation. Like, the worst case scenario has played out. So let's make the best of a bad situation. Let's be advantageous in what is clearly a seller's market.
Do you feel like after they trade Santana, let's say, and maybe they trade Lane Thomas and somebody else, do you feel like that's when we'll see the young guys come up? Or is there a different reason why we haven't seen Kafis, DeLauder, and Brito?
You know, Kafis is banged up. DeLauder, they had a run of lefties, which I would have to hope that played into the consideration of him not being it. I'm still shocked. You know, this is what they've been riding with. I mean, this offense is a really tough watch. They got through Scooble yesterday, so I would think you see DeLauder any minute now. I would think, but you know, that's just me speculating. But I'm surprised he got up already. I do understand, like, you know, they wanted to get him to a point where, you know, he could build up some bulk in terms of his games played. And I'm sure they want to be careful with him, protect, you know, put him in a good situation when he does come up to get off a strong start. And you don't do that by, you know, I know people were upset yesterday when Will Wilson gets the call up, but it's like, you're going to send DeLauder up there against Scooble for his major league debut. That's a tough matchup for anybody, particularly someone making their debut. So, I'd be really surprised if we go much longer without seeing him, because what more does he have to prove in terms of just capability of contributing to this particular team? I get that you don't want to have a guy feel like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, but I don't know if you can feel that anymore in Cleveland. They've played themselves almost out of contention. They are still loosely in contention, but they're seven games out of a wild card spot, so he shouldn't have to feel that way. It should just be more, you know, they need to nip this in the bud and put a stop to this, you know, prolonged offensive funk and get some kind of upside in this lineup, and he could provide that.
Anthony, is this a one-off, or do you think that this is going to be where they are for the next, you know, maybe two seasons or more?
I don't know. I can never figure this club out. The problem is, I don't think they can either. They don't seem to have a good sense of their timeline at a particular moment. You know, we keep hearing about what a young team it is, but it's young by choice. It's been young for several years now, and they didn't expect to contend in 2022, and lo and behold, they did. They didn't expect to contend last year. Lo and behold, they got to the ALCS. So, you know, it's so hard with young players to know what the timeline is, and they keep rolling out predominantly young lineups, predominantly young teams, and you get a lot of, you know, variations in performance with that. So, you know, like I said, take advantage of this trade deadline, you know, get hopefully some near-term help, and, you know, maybe make a better effort in the offseason, because, like I said, they do have some nice pieces. You know, they do have some good young pitching. They do have some good young position players who are in the near future, and things could look a lot different very quickly, because we've seen that in Cleveland already in the last few years. I mean, we didn't go into 2022 thinking that young lineup was ready to do anything, and lo and behold, it ran away with the division. So, and then last year, you know, after a season of setbacks, you know, last year they take that step forward again, and here's another step back. You can only play that game so long with Jose Ramirez, and we talked about Stephen Kwan, and you know, it sounds like a lot of long-term control, but it's not in baseball. It goes very quick. And Jose Ramirez, his mid-30s, could hit very quickly and hit hard, as they do for many players, particularly infielders. But still, I mean, there is a window, there is an avenue to them being good again next year. It's just that you have to make a more earnest effort in the offseason, and you have to hit on these position players in the system.
Anthony, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And I'm sure we'll catch up again, and hopefully it will be on the other side of rock bottom instead of the elongated part of it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anthony Castrovince there, MLB.com, MLB Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Guardians and the path forward and the Peterlin pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I mean, I just think it makes absolute sense to trade Emmanuel Clase, provided that, because it's always the conditional of, well, if you get the offers. Guys, there's no way in hell you're not going to get the offers for him. I think the same thing probably applies to Kwan, who's got 2 years after this and has kind of intimated he's not taking a hometown discount.
He's definitely not taking a hometown discount. I feel like the thing they need to find out is, are they comfortable paying Kwan $100 to $125 million?
Yeah.
If they're comfortable with that, then you pay him. Like, this is the type of guy that you want to have around this roster. I think it's the type of guy that has not only delivered in many ways, like, he's worthy of the paycheck. It's just whether or not you're comfortable paying it. Because if you're not, then go ahead and trade him.
So there's a part of me that's not comfortable paying him. And a lot of it is he doesn't have power. That's a big part of this. But it's also, I know he's a gold glove left fielder. There's a few spots in the diamond where if you don't have traditional power hitters anyways, you need more power. Mm-hmm. So I don't know we can afford a truly tremendous leadoff hitter, great contact hitter, gold glove left fielder, when getting a guy who might be a 20 to 25 home run hitter on the corner might be the better way to build a ball club.
Yeah, and so that's a nice way to look at it. Like, do we want to prioritize what Stephen Kwan does versus what somebody else does when you're only able to give out? I mean, they've given out $200 million contracts in their entire existence as a franchise. If this is going to be the third, and this is going to be really at any given time, you can only have J-Ram's contract and really one other massive contract on the books. Is that the guy you want to go with?
And here's the thing. Like Hosey's off year, he's still a four-war player. When I say that, what I mean is he's still going to give you 20-plus home runs. The defense is maybe not where it once was, but it's always been pretty consistently good. And he's a good contact hitter. In a down year, you're still going to get that. In a down year for Kwan, it's going to be what his second year was back in 2023.
Yeah.
Where, like, he wasn't the problem, but he was a good table setter, not a great table setter.
Yeah, no disagreements for me there. I think it should be open the same way. Like, I think Class A is all but gone. I think we can agree on that. I feel like when it comes to Santana, he's all but gone. I feel like there's a couple other guys in there. You know, you want to throw Lane Thomas in the mix? Sure. But I think Kwan's going to come down to the price. And I just don't know that there's going to be the market for Kwan the way that people think that there's going to be.
I think it's, listen, with Class A, it is pick a pebble up, throw in a direction of any, and I do mean any competing team, almost any competing team, and you're going to hit a team willing to give you potentially two, maybe three top 100 or top 100-ish players. With Kwan, I think you might have a couple teams. I still think the Dodgers make an incredible amount of sense because Kwan in front of Mookie Betts and Otani would be insane. Can I give you a team that I think makes a lot more sense, but I don't know they still have the prospects you need?
Yeah.
Like Seattle. Not because I know he's a big Ichiro fan. They've got guys that I think are functional players. I think they could use a truly transcendent table setter, especially in what's been a more competitive than expected AL West.
That'll be interesting. I don't see them sacking up and making the move for that, but it's an interesting call.
Man, he's like the AL version of Preller.
Well, okay, so you're giving him a lot more credit than I ever have. I think about the Angels day with him.
Oh, no, I don't think he's a good GM. That's why I want to trade with him.
I go back to him when he was spending like a drunken sailor. He gave everybody a bunch of money and then dipped on Artie Moreno's dime.
Yeah. And also the Giants, not just because Kwan is from
there. Well, and that one makes sense because of the connection that Kwan has with the home. And then there is a place where he might even take a hometown discount.
And Buster Posey's a new GM.
Well, and so Buster
like
would be
off new GMs.
Buster would be the type of GM that would look at Kwan and be like, that's the type of baseball player I love because it's the type of baseball player that existed when Buster was playing.
We're in a weird spot where I don't want to do anything that really kills your chances next year. Because this, you might be able to swing the pendulum back for next year.
So that's the question, right? Are you gonna if you trade Kwan and Class A, you are then tanking any sort of competitiveness for next year, and you're doing it as J-Ram gets older and older with each passing season.
Well, the thing that I struggle with is, with the way you're built, if we're talking about the Dodgers or if we're talking about the Yankees with Judge in front of you and Stanton when he's healthy, I think a guy like Kwan puts so many more W's on the board for you. If you don't have a guy to drive him home, if you don't have guys to drive him home, him setting the table does not...
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not impact wins and losses the way you need them to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you traded Hosey, which you're not going to do, it doesn't make any sense. That's a made-up idea. It's dumb. But if you traded Hosey, you're not competing next year under any circumstances. Whereas I can see a world in which you would trade Kwan and trade Class A, and if you're getting guys who are close to major league ready, yeah. And oh, by the way, you spend a little bit of that Jimenez, Kwan, and Class A money on the offensive side of the ball, specifically in free agency, I could absolutely see you bouncing back. I don't feel that way about Hosey, and I probably don't feel that way about one of the young stars.
Well, that's why I'm fascinated to find out. Like, Castrovinz was like, oh, it's two top 100 prospects in return for Class A. But if we're trading for two top 100 prospects that can hit, I don't know that I trust them to develop these guys. So, like, are they going to trade for two top 100 prospects? Or are they going to trade for two guys where they wave the white flag and say, all right, we can't develop guys. We're going to bring guys that can already hit at the big league level back in return.
And so it's not, because I was actually doing this little exercise on MLB's prospect website. You need to trade for guys with elite traits, meaning if he is a contact hitter, 60, 65, 70 grade contact hitter. If he's a power hitter, 60, 65, 70 power.
Well, they got to be basically to the idea that you can, they'll hit at the next level no matter what you do with them.
Yes.
That's why I like DeLauder so much. DeLauder is guardian system proofed, whereas he's going to be able to hit, and he's going to be able to hit at an extremely high rate, because he'd hit if he was playing for the Guardians or if he was playing for any other team in baseball.
Is it a hot take to say that if you trade Hosey, I think you just give Manzardo first base and let DeLauder DH? I know you still have to worry about David Fry.
I'm not worried about David Fry.
I just want
he
Chase
played one
DeLauder.
Good half season last year. I don't have to worry about David Fry.
I just want to put DeLauder in a spot where we just see the bat. I don't want to put him in right field, or maybe you put him in left field. It's a lower contact place.
So that's
place.
The part that sucks about this conversation in some ways, is that so DeLauder's going to come up and he's going to rake, and then people will point to that and be like, well, that's they're developing guys. They're getting this right. It's like, no, guys, you have to understand. DeLauder is one of the, we want more like DeLauder for a reason, but he's one of these guys that would be successful with anyone in any system. He is Guardians proofed, and those are the type of guys that the Guardians need to start accessing.
And the good news, now this is where the good news actually comes in. There are a couple teams, Chicago being one for Class A, that their top prospect, Owen Cassie, mm-hmm. is like, this is another reason why maybe trading Kwan makes sense, because you could just plug and play the kid in left field and he's got 30 home run power. I also have a soft spot for lefties, because I think Progressive Field is awesome for left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
But like, that's the kind of thing that I think.
It's funny, we had Zach Zabeman on last week. He did part of the Cubs radio network, and I was like, so how about Class A? You guys interested in that deal? And he was like, no, Palencia. Like, we got a guy. And it's like, oh, you work for the network. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's all that's happening here.
Or
you have to convince yourself you guys have something there. Okay.
Or he started to sniff glue. And those,
might
those two
too.
Things are both on the table.
It was very nice.
We don't know Zach personally, but it's Chicago. Anything's on the table. Let's go ahead and get to the Peterlin pass.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide.
It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
All right, the Peterlin Pass this week is going to go to Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. They're going to get a collective Peterlin Pass. In today's day and age, all we concern ourselves with is who's the GOAT. In two sports, we do this. We don't do this in baseball as much, but in basketball, we do it with LeBron and MJ. And in football, we're doing it with Tom Brady. And the conversation a couple years on the horizon and has already started in some circles, is it Tom Brady or is it Patrick Mahomes? There's a lesson to be learned from LeBron and Michael Jordan about how to not do the GOAT battle. MJ historically awful to LeBron, as LeBron idolized him the entire time, going as far as to not only chase the ghost of MJ, but talking about growing up with MJ posters on his wall and jerseys that he wore. It is the clear-cut example of how not to have that relationship go down, where you have two fan bases in MJ and LeBron that just pit each other against each other. And part of the reason why is because MJ never, never got along with the idea that LeBron could sniff his jock strap. So I bring you this audio from Up and Adams. This is Kay Adams with Patrick Mahomes, and listen to the development for Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Here we go.
I think there's always in the back of your mind, even from the beginning of my career. I mean, I've actually talked to Tom a good amount this offseason, and it's cool that he wants to give me advice. You know, he doesn't have to be like that. He's such a good dude, and I have so much respect for him, and I'll take any advice he gives me. He always talks about being yourself. He thinks that, which I truly believe too, is that guys can spot when you're not authentic and you're not putting in the work. I mean, that's something that he did every single day. That's why guys respect him so much, and that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my career, and I feel like I've done so far, as I'm always myself.
Segments of Online Nick absolutely hated this exchange. They want him to be LeBron and MJ. What I love the most about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes is they're not that. And I love that Mahomes, first off, is willing to accept anything that comes Tom Brady's way in an acknowledgement that he is the current GOAT. And then I love that Tom Brady is willing to offer up advice to the guy that might one day pass him.
Yeah, I gotta say, it just so tracks where we are with social media, specifically in 2025. Like, it's always been a vast hellscape, but it's really gotten to the point where just the more negative, the better. This is exactly how it should be. Like, I think the GOAT conversation has not been fun in the NBA for 15 years because it's been convoluted and people aren't genuine about it. Everybody takes shortcuts and obscures facts to go ahead and support their own side. It is intrinsically, it's supposed to be a fun thing.
Right.
Like, and I know that sports talk is the biggest killer of this. I shouldn't even blame social media. It's sports talk hacks on Fox Sports and ESPN that kill this conversation. But I love that Mahomes and Brady both kind of embrace this in their own way. I think that's really good for the sport.
I think it's a great development. And I think it just... It would let us years from now have an actual authentic conversation between the two sides. Whereas I feel like MJ versus LeBron at this point is just boiled down to who did you watch when you grew up.
So specific to what you said, there should always be a new GOAT. If there's a new GOAT, it's good for the league. It is. Like, guys, people have forgotten Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the absolute GOAT. And before him, it was Oscar or it was Wilt. Before him, George Mikan and Bob Pettit. By the way, Bob Pettit was the Oscar era, though. But the point is, if we stop having new GOAT or, hey, that guy isn't as good as this, then the league fails. I don't think we're ever going to get there, but I think that's the, like, eventually people are going to forget about Tom Brady and we're going to go, because people have forgotten about Joe Montana in the conversation, who was the previous GOAT. People have forgotten about Jim Brown in that conversation. So it's never finite. It's never absolute. It's really more of a moving target, and I think understanding that there is pressure that goes with it, which Mahomes is owning there, but also not letting it own you completely, I think is just really smart.
I'd love to know who reached out to who. Was it Tom Brady calling up Patrick Mahomes and saying, I got some tips for you? The last couple of years maybe haven't gone the greatest from a statistical standpoint. You obviously had a lot of success in going to the Super Bowl, but it didn't go the way that you wanted from an on-field performance. I got some tips. I got some ideas. I've been there. Let me help you out. Or was it Mahomes saying, hey, I'm struggling right now. Tom Brady, you're one of the only people on planet Earth that know what I'm going through right now. Can you help me out?
I would imagine that it's Pat reaching out to Tom. Either way, you know me. I make fun of Tom Brady a lot because he doesn't have a real personality and he's a bit of a knob. I'm very impressed by this. This to me, like, there's a lot of fake class that people aspire or ascribe to athletes. This is a very classy thing, and if somebody that's a mature and actually, like I respect Tom Brady a little bit more after this.
It's why they get the pass, as the online world just wants him to be LeBron and MJ, who a couple years ago when they shook hands before the All-Star game was basically the only time the two of them had embraced each other in any sort of way in 25 years.
The Peterlin Pass.
Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and the Cavs' big challenge. That's coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. It's been the week of Taylor Rooks' X account because last week before we left, we talked about Donovan Mitchell's comments to her. And now I am back on a Monday and we're talking about Donovan Mitchell on Taylor Rooks' X account and talking about the importance of pushing Evan Mobley going forward.
I mean, he's defensive player of the year at 24 years old.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He was first team all defense last year at 23. But offensively, man, like we saw it the last game of the playoffs. I saw it throughout most of the year. That's why he's all NBA. Mm-hmm. And then one of the biggest reasons I re-signed was him. Like, you know, seeing what he did in the Boston series, especially when I was out and Karis was out and a bunch of guys were out, like he had the ball in his hand and we're figuring out, like, you know, and whatnot. So I think for like we said, like when he figures it out. And I think a lot of that, too, is just like the aggression, like the come, because he has it. He's shown it. He's done it. And it's now it's all 82 plus the 16 wins. Like it's every single night. And it's not when he doesn't do it, it's not that he's not capable. I think it's just understanding that that's what comes with continuing taking the step to be the guy. You know what I mean? But like I said, it's growing pains. That's the process of it. And I think you see it so much throughout the season. And I'm like, man, he has no idea. He does, but he doesn't. You know what I mean? And for I think sure.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what makes him special.
So I guess my first thing, what was your first reaction when you heard that?
I loved it. I loved the idea that he like signaled out why he signed the extension was Evan Mobley. Like there was enough there. There was enough of a compliment sandwich in between the idea of what he was trying to get his point across, right? Obviously, he wants Mobley to be more vocal. I think that's a thing that we all see with Mobley to begin with anyway. But sometimes you do have to call out players in a certain way. But he did it in a... He did it in a nice compliment sandwich in a way that reaffirmed to Mobley, at least I think, that like, yeah, like I'm here because of you. Now here's how we need to get better.
I always viewed Anthony Davis in L.A. I think LeBron was trying to give him the foundation of how to become the best player in the NBA. And then he eventually wanted to pass it off, meaning almost like the Shaq Kobe thing,
yeah,
where
for sure.
Shaq was the reason they won the first couple championships. And by the end, Kobe was his equal. And then it turns out AD just didn't have it. That's just not who he is as a basketball player. I do think Evan has it. What's interesting is I also think in key moments, Donovan has to remember that as much as Evan does.
Yeah, I just think, so this is where I would say a lot of this falls on Donovan in some ways too, though. Like if you're going to be the captain of this team and the person that is the dominating force in this team, then you have to be the one to call out Evan in these spots. Be like, hey, I need you to be more vocal here. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And I'm sure he's doing some of those things, but like I get it.
You also have to be self-aware.
For sure.
And I mean, you and I have called out umpteenth times how in the second half of that Pacers series, there were times where Evan was calling for it. There were times where Evan was being aggressive, and then Evan would get the offense on a roll by just dump because Indiana had no, as great as Miles Turner is, he didn't really have a great answer for Evan Mobley. And then the second there would be momentum there, it would be jack up three shots or hold the ball, pound on the pavement, and then take a bad shot.
Right, but we still saw too many times, like the second half of game five, and maybe I want more clarity on that, where Donovan just either didn't trust him, like didn't have the belief that he would be able to get the job done, or Evan just stopped calling for the ball. Something happened where the final 13 possessions all were Donovan Mitchell ending.
Well, and that to me is where I'm driving at, is it's like, I love hearing this from Donovan, and it should be said, like, I love the way Donovan leads in public because I think it's a lesson that JB Bickerstaff could have learned. I think Kevin Stefanski could lead like this. You're not being critical. It is the compliment sandwich, but you are giving the truth to the public, which is all anybody really wants to hear if you're a fan, while also giving deference to say, hey, we gotta figure this out. We gotta work this out. And so I love that Donovan's doing this. I also think, like, all right, are we going to give him, because it now becomes, to me, it's not just on Evan. It's maybe where I'm going with this. It's on Kenny. It's on Donovan. It's on Darius. Like, you need to set aside games where it's like, hey, this is a great matchup. We're going to figure out the first three quarters of the game. And then the fourth quarter, we're going to Evan. Like, that's as much on the Cavs, the rest of the Cavs, as it is just on Evan to me. And it's the only part of this that I'm not entirely comfortable with is, if we just put it on Evan, I think the Cavs are missing the greater point.
It's been an odd stretch for Donovan in some of this stuff, though. Like, think about it. So last week when you were off, I got really mad at the idea that everyone was going after Sophie Cunningham. That's a different story for a different time. But like, Donovan was quote tweeting about that. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant, Nash, and LeBron were all doing this podcast bashing Darius Garland. And in the process of it all, I was like, well, Donovan, where are you at? Like, you need to be defending your guy in that moment. You need to be publicly out here defending Darius, and he just was nowhere to be found. And so I think it's interesting the things that Donovan is now choosing to take part in and not take part in.
I mean, this is the summer of building up Evan, though.
That's what I mean by that. That's what makes it so interesting. Is like, so Darius got absolutely destroyed for a 24-hour period by three of the... I mean, Nash is a two-time MVP winner. He is very, very outspoken, and he's got a big name in the NBA. But Durant and LeBron, I mean, they brought up Garland, and they made it seem like he'd never played basketball before, in a sense. And where was Donovan there? Like, nowhere to be found. And so, but he's out here with this, with the Evan Mobley comment, and I think that's really interesting.
I think, do you think it's all on Evan, by the way?
The success of the team next year? Maybe not. Depends what happens. If like LeBron comes home, then definitely not. That would take a lot of pressure off Evan Mobley. If it's Evan Mobley and Donovan, how do you get to another level if not for Evan Mobley? Like, Donovan's proven. He can't get past the second round. Mm-hmm. I love Donovan, but he's shown us there's enough proof there in his entire career. He can't get to the conference finals. If some reason he's able to, it's going to be because Donovan took another step forward. There's no more step forward for Donovan to take. It's going to be because other pieces around him, like Evan, take a massive step forward.
Well, and Evan is a part of Donovan's legacy in a way that Darius won't be. To answer your part of a second ago. Like, Darius will never be a part of Donovan's legacy because they're going to be lumped in together. And until the Cavs actually break this up, whenever that could happen, whether it's 2 years from now because of salary or not, Evan's the guy that elevates Donovan's legacy. I think Darius is a very helpful player, but...
But isn't there recognition by Donovan in that? That he sees it the way you're describing it right there, where it's like, I got to go out here and I got to talk about Evan and I got to find a way to get the most out of Evan, where when it comes to defending Darius, I'll just be crickets.
Yeah.
Because I know where that's going.
But I think that's where this is. This is where, again, I'm not going to kill the Cavs for the offseason. They've clearly, they're going to run it back, and that's fine. Not how I would do it, but maybe we don't know the offers that weren't out there, so I'll give them that benefit of the doubt. Kobe, I think, has earned that. The Cavs in general have earned that. But, like, Donovan and Darius was built to be broken up. Just the way that those two guys play, the overlaps, the fact that they're not the same player, but again, they occupy the same place, they have the same ball-dominant trends. Like, that was always built to be broken up. And by the way, it's still, even if you don't break it up because of the fit, in 2 years you're going to offload one of those players because of the financial implications anyway.
Right.
So, whereas it is plausible that either Darius or Evan or Donovan or Evan are going to be the core moving forward. And that's why, like, I actually will go one step further. I think Darius should be out here talking about Evan and trying to expand his the perception of him.
Well, Darius hasn't been anywhere. I haven't heard him talk anywhere, and he's been dragged through for a week and a half now, and I haven't heard him speak up at all.
I think it would be time, because I think the farther we go into this, it's clearly becoming Donovan and Evan's team, and Darius is going to be left in the wake. Some of this is optics, but some of it just seems to be reality.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a great point by you, and I think it's so fascinating, that relationship between Donovan and Evan, and watching it take a next step. But maybe the whole part of this is that Donovan understands what I was alluding to, that he can't go far in the playoffs if it's just him. He needs Evan to really overtake him at some point.
Do the Cavs need to do more to unlock Evan Mobley? I will say, having two ball-dominant guards isn't going to help the kid call for the ball more. Joe DeLeon, he put out his first all too early mock draft. He's got a big name. He's literally a big person. Going to the Browns with the number one pick. We'll get that for Joe and thoughts on the Browns in 2025 in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.